Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. A great show on tap for you guys. Today, we start our college football preview. Every day, we're going to look at a different team across the college football landscape as we get ready for kickoff, which is a little less than under 2 months. It'll be here before we know it. We're starting with the defending champs today. Clayton Safey is standing by as we're getting ready to talk the Michigan Wolverines. We'll also do a little PJ's potluck, dive into everything going on across the sports landscape. We got Wimbledon, we got the Euros, we got the Scottish Open this week. We will dive into that. Also, Lucy Burge will join us later on in the show. And it is a Monday. We are going to go back to the PJ Top 10. I'll give out my top 10 best teams that I like right now in Major League Baseball. And then we'll wrap everything up, our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, thoughts that you guys have for us, especially on Michigan football, let us know. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports as well. Glasses in session. Let's get this thing going. Talking some college football. Clayton Safey joins the show. Follow Clayton on X at CSAF23, staff and social writer for thewolverine.com. Clayton, I'm sure it was quite a season for you last year, man. Covering the national champions had to be a lot of fun. We know the big offseason storyline. Jim Harbaugh moves on. He takes the Chargers job. Sherrone Moore takes over. Outside of Harbaugh moving on, what would you say is the biggest storyline surrounding Michigan for the upcoming season?
Yeah, maybe, you know, this ties into having a new coach, but I think it's just kind of the new landscape of college football and where Michigan fits in as the defending national champion. Really not even just the landscape of college football, but the Big Ten in general as well, you know, because Michigan has won the Big Ten the last 3 years, but now it's expanded. You know, teams like Oregon and USC are expected to compete right away. Ohio State has, you know, bought a very, very talented roster as they try to, you know, I think they won four straight Big Tens before Michigan's run, so they're trying to return to that. As well as compete for the national championship and beat Michigan. So I think it's, you know, what Michigan lost from a talent standpoint to the NFL with 13 draft picks. I mean, 18 guys, a record, were invited to the NFL combine. And now you try to reload and do it with the new coaching staff, as well as heightened competition in the new Big Ten. You also have Texas in the non-conference. So I think it's just the heightened level of competition right away and where Michigan stands among that.
Yeah, the last couple of years, it does feel like Michigan's kind of had a little bit of a cupcake non-conference, but like you said, they get Texas right away. That'll be a big game for them. Let's talk about the offense. So obviously, J.J. McCarthy was the quarterback the last couple of years. Great career, won the national championship. I know they're having a competition. It looks like Alex Orji is going to be the guy. Is that who you're expecting to see week one, and do you think he'll be the starter throughout the season, and what can you tell us about Alex Orji?
Yeah, I think the first point on the quarterback battle that anybody that you talk to that would know understands that this is probably going to play out during fall camp. And I think Alex Orji probably came out of spring as the favorite. But you have to remember that Jack Tuttle, seventh-year senior who spent time at Utah, spent a bunch of years at Indiana, then last year at Michigan, was also hurt during the spring. So he didn't get to practice. I think that he has new life as they get into fall camp, and he's healthy and ready to go right now this summer. So he's in the mix. I think Davis Warren, senior, former walk-on, is in the mix as well. He's been impressive and climbed all the way up to the number two quarterback job a couple years ago behind J.J. McCarthy when it was J.J.'s first year starting. So I think those three are in the mix. I don't know how it's going to play out. I do think we will see Alex Orji for sure. And Kirk Campbell, Michigan's offensive coordinator, has said that he's going to have a role in the game plan no matter what. And I think that's because he brings something different than the rest of the guys in terms of his athleticism and ability to run the football. So if I had to bet right now, I know the public favorite is probably Alex Orji, and that's what a lot of fans and people are expecting. But I just have a feeling that it's going to be Jack Tuttle in game one. But again, I'm saying that by also noting that I don't know, and I think they're going to find out during fall camp kind of what the situation is going to be going in early. And you want to get it, you know, right early on in the year, because as you mentioned, Texas comes in week two, so there's no time to really experiment this year.
Regardless of who it is playing quarterback, Clayton, do you think it's going to be a lot of Donovan Edwards this season? And are you expecting, obviously we're a betting show, looking at Michigan, do you expect them to be a good under team this season, dominant running team, chewing the clock with that dominant defense? Do you expect to see them play some low-scoring games?
Yeah, I would say so. I think they're going to play to their strengths, which is defense, and I think special teams will be a strength again. And then especially early on in the year, some of those games may be lower scoring because Michigan's going to be trying to find their identity on offense. Even though they do have a lot of names you know coming back, really technically only one starter returns in junior tight end Colston Loveland, who should, you know, is a preseason All-American, could be an All-American this year on the field. So I think they're just going to have a different identity. Maybe Vegas is going to know that they may play a little lower scoring. So I'm hesitant to say, yeah, it's going to go under every week, but I think there will be maybe some lower totals, and maybe early on in the year before Vegas catches on, they'll play some games like that. Texas game could be 20-13 or 17-10, something like that.
I like it. Let's talk about that defense. They were so good last year. They're going to be good again this year. They lose Jesse Minter, though. He follows Jim Harbaugh to L.A. They bring in Wink Martindale, a lot of success in the NFL. What's been kind of the impressions of Wink so far through camp?
Yeah, I think he's been, it was really impressive that they were able to land Wink Martindale. I think the stars kind of aligned a little bit in that regard, because he had his situation with the Giants where he actually decided to leave. They were making changes, but and some changes that he didn't like, and I think he decided to go. And I don't think that a lot of people guessed that his next stop after 20 years in the NFL would be back in college football, but he said coming into his interview when he flew into Ann Arbor, he knew if he was offered the job, he was going to take it. I think this is a challenge that he wants to take on. This is a group of Michigan defensive players that know the system he likes to run, know the system he's going to run. He'll have his twist on it. My impressions of him early on are that it's going to be a little bit more aggressive, but also that he's going to be flexible. That's a big word that's talked about with this system, is it was created to have answers against these high-level offenses in the NFL, and it's had success the last few years at Michigan with Mike McDonald and Jesse Minter. So it's not going to change in that regard from Wink Martindale. He's going to be aggressive, but he's also going to do, if they're going to be able to get pressure with four guys up front, then he's not going to blitz as much, because the goal is to eliminate the other team from scoring and to win these games. He understands that. He knows that with his NFL background, that week to week it might look different, but I think he'll be able to put together a pretty successful unit and really one of the best in the country with all the talent they have coming back.
Clayton, let's talk about the schedule. Right now, Vegas has the over-under win total at 9 for Michigan, which you can totally see, right? The three marquee games, Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State, they're going to be underdogs at all three of those games. Which one would you give Michigan the best shot to win? Texas, Oregon, or Ohio State, if you had to pick?
Yeah, I'd say Oregon for a couple reasons. One, that game and the Texas one are at home. I'd say Ohio State is the toughest game on Michigan's schedule. They won there 2 years ago, but that was their first win in Columbus since 2000. So it's just really, really tough to do. Obviously, Michigan had their dips in there in Ohio State, rose to prominence under Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer, but it's still a really tough place to play. It's going to be revved up. They're desperate in a way to beat Michigan, and they have the talent that reflects that. It's going to be a really good team, could be undefeated coming into that game. Texas, early on, I think, is going to be the second toughest game there, just because Michigan will be trying to figure out a lot offensively early on in the season, including with the new quarterback. But Oregon is one that interests me, that Oregon is favored right now preseason, but we don't know how much the travel from the West Coast to the Midwest is going to affect these teams that are new to the Big Ten. We don't know how the, you know, that accumulation is going to add up over time throughout a season. And also, you know, it's November. It's going to be at the Big House. Michigan's comfortable playing in a situation like that. And I also think that Michigan's going to have more of an identity by November. So for those reasons, I think Oregon's the best chance of Michigan winning one of those three.
Yeah, totally fair. And then before I let you go, they're minus 110 right now to make the college football playoff, Clayton. Total pick 'em. Obviously won the national championship last year. A lot of turnover. Currently, they're tied with Penn State. Third best odds to win the Big Ten at plus 550. You'd expect probably three Big Ten teams to get into the playoff. So I ask you, yes or no, does Michigan make the playoff this year?
Yeah, I think the tough schedule is going to benefit them and get them in. Even if they lose three games, I think they'd be right there on the border of potentially making it. I know three lost teams are usually in that 12 to 15 range, at least the top three lost teams. Obviously, some more down in the 20s and things like that. But I think Michigan can get in with that. And I also think they have a chance of going 10-2, 11-1, 12-0, that sort of thing. So I do believe Michigan will get in the college football playoff this season.
All right, very good. He's Clayton Safey. Give him a follow on X at CSAF23, staff and social writer for thewolverine.com. Clayton, really appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the season, and I'm sure we'll catch up again during the college football season. Can't wait.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, yeah, a lot of good stuff there, Clayton Safey. All right, time for us now to preview the Michigan Wolverines as, oh, look at that graphic, folks. I mean, if you aren't ready for college football, that'll get you fired up right there. Shawnee Sharp, as always, great job on the graphics. We got Fresno State week one with Michigan. Texas is there in week two. Arkansas State, USC in week four. Then you got Minnesota, Washington. Remember, two bye weeks this year because of the expanded playoff, because they moved the season up. Michigan's first bye week will come October 12th. Then at Illinois, home against Michigan State, home against Oregon, at Indiana, home against another bye week before they finished off, home against Northwestern, and at Ohio State. Couple things jump out at me, right? First one is going to be that Michigan only has four true road games this season. They're going to be at Ohio State, at Indiana, at Illinois, and at Washington. Going to be heavily favored in pretty much all those games. Yes, Washington should be tough because of the travel, but they got so much turnover. Obviously replacing Kellen DeBoer with Jed Fish, bringing in so many new guys on the offensive side of the ball. Illinois could be a tough game, but Illinois kind of plays the same way that Michigan does. And I don't know if Illinois is going to out Michigan. So that, I don't think, will be tough. Indiana's going to be one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. So really, when you're looking at Michigan's win total at over under 9, I do think maybe one of their potential home games could be tricky that people don't see coming, right? Like maybe the Northwestern game the week before Ohio State. Traditionally, that game always gives Michigan and Ohio State fits. That could be tricky. Michigan State always plays Michigan well in Ann Arbor. We talked about that last week. That could be tough. Maybe USC coming into Michigan and playing them in September rather than playing them in October or late November. That could be a benefit. Maybe Lincoln Riley's offense gives Wink Martindale some fits. I personally think 9 is the right number. Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State are the three games that you're going to look at. Sherrone Moore, year one for him should be a good kind of measuring stick for him in the program, right? All the expectations, the pressure is kind of off. You've beaten Ohio State the last 3 years. You won your national championship. Harbaugh's gone. McCarthy's gone. Corum's gone. You still have an elite defense. I can tell you guys, though, being a Ravens fan and watching Wink Martindale's defenses for a couple years, not really a fan. He blitzes way too much. Now, Michigan's got a lot of top-end talent, so he might not have to do that. Really interested to see if he kind of just lets his defense, his front four, which is as good as any front four in the country, if he just lets them go get the quarterback, or if he feels the needs to continue to blitz like he has shown with the Ravens and when he was defensive coordinator with the Giants. Don't think anybody's worth a bet to win the Heisman for Michigan. As Clayton mentioned, I mean, Alex Orji's probably the favorite, but Jack Tuttle certainly could be it. Wouldn't like either of those guys. Donovan Edwards, I don't know if we're going to see a running back win it here in the near future at 80-1. He's certainly a good one, though. And then for Michigan to make or miss the playoffs, it is so tough. Minus 110 really is the perfect number. if I had to bet it, I think I probably would bet it just because it's Michigan, right? And like that stuff matters. We can say it doesn't matter. Every year's different. You know, you can't judge a school based off the brand name, but at the end of the day, it's all money. And let's say Michigan is head to head with like an Oklahoma State or an Iowa State. Michigan's probably going to end up getting the nod. Could you imagine if we get like Michigan and like LSU in the 5-12 game in the first round or something like that? They're going to choose to do that with Michigan. So I would probably take the minus 110. There's really nothing that pops out at me when betting Michigan. I will say I do really like Texas, though, in the week 2 game. Longhorns currently laying -3 against Michigan. I just think an experienced Texas team going into Ann Arbor week 2, again, when it's not freezing cold, going up against a Michigan team who has a new defensive coordinator, no more Jim Harbaugh, no more McCarthy, just a lot of change. They lost their top 6 offensive linemen, their top 2 receivers. I just think there's so much turnover with Michigan, and Texas is a team that's bringing a lot back, so I like Texas in that week 2 game. Overall, though, in the futures market, Michigan's going to be a borderline playoff team this year. If I had to make the bet, I probably would take them to do it. Wouldn't bet them to win the Big Ten, though. Wouldn't bet them to go back-to-back to win the national championship. I am interested to see, though, what kind of coach Sherrone Moore is, and we're certainly going to find out this season with the offense that he will be in charge of and how they look without McCarthy, Corum, and that great offensive line that they had last season. All right, let's go to PJ's potluck now here on Send It In. Bring Shawnee Sharp in as we go around the sports landscape and give out some bets. Shawnee Sharp, what's our first one up?
Yeah, Peach, let's go to Wimbledon. Would you rather bet Jannik Sinner at plus 160 to win Wimbledon or Carlos Alcaraz at plus 190?
I think I'm going to go with Sinner at plus 160. Alcaraz got a scare a couple matches ago from Francis Tiafoe, went 5 sets. Sinner has had some matches where he's lost some sets here and there as well, too. But Sinner was the favorite going into this thing. He's the number one player in the world currently. He's great on grass. I think he is the bet right now. So I will go with Sinner at plus 160.
All right, we have the semifinals tomorrow in Euro 2024. Spain to qualify is minus 135 versus France, or England is also minus 135 to qualify against the Netherlands.
So I really like both. I love a Spain-England parlay for both of those teams to qualify. I think Spain's been the best team in the tournament. I think they advance. And England, to me, you guys, just has that team of destiny feel. We've been talking about it the last week. They keep going to penalty kicks, and they keep winning those games. So if I had to be more confident, you guys know I'm narrative page. I'm going to always ride with the narrative-based team, the team that passes the vibe check. Right now, that is England. So I will take them to qualify minus 135.
Speaking of a narrative play here, how about we were talking about Michigan today. So Michigan to make the college football playoff is minus 110, or their former head coach, Jim Harbaugh, with the Chargers is minus 115 to make the playoffs.
So again, I would lean Michigan to make the college football playoff at minus 110. Don't love it, but if you guys have listened to this show, you know I am anti-Chargers this season. I think Jim Harbaugh is a terrific coach. I think he's going to eventually get the Chargers to the playoffs and competing with the Chiefs in that AFC West division, but not in year one. There's way too much turnover on that roster. Michigan is the much better bet, especially with both things currently priced pretty much the same. I'll take Michigan to make the playoff minus 110.
All right, now let's go over to the MLB here. Yankees to win the World Series is plus 500, or the Phillies to win the World Series also plus 500.
Definitely taking the Phillies. It's kind of crazy that both of these teams are priced the same. Have you watched the Yankees the last 3 weeks? They haven't won a single of their last 7 series. They got a ton of issues. Their starting rotation has not been nearly as good as it was the first 2 months of the year. Outside of Soto and Judge, there's no consistency in that lineup. Phillies, I think right now, most complete team in baseball. Great starting rotation, good bullpen, great lineup. They're so good in the postseason as well that we've seen the last couple years. Easy bet, Phillies plus 500.
All right, 2 more here for you, Peach. Over at BetMGM, there's a special. You could go against college football teams head-to-head for most regular season wins. Michigan is plus 180 going up against Notre Dame at minus 225. Is there value with the Wolverines here, Peach?
Potentially there is at plus 180, but Notre Dame's got a really favorable schedule. Really, Notre Dame's season could all come down to week 1 when they travel to College Station and play Texas A&M. I cannot wait for that game. It's a pick 'em, and it truly is a toss-up. It could go either way. It's tough. I think because of the price, you got to go with Michigan at plus 180. Even though I see Michigan around 9 wins, their ceiling is probably 10. But Notre Dame, we'll see. That's a tough one, Shawnee Sharp. I'll go Michigan, plus 180.
All right, last one here for you. I know we've talked about bets, but how about a rookie of the year that you'd rather try to go into the market and beat? Caitlin Clark to win rookie of the year WNBA is minus 450, or Paul Skeens to win NL rookie of the year is minus 350.
Excellent question. There's a reason both are heavily juiced. Clark's minus 450, Skeens is minus 350. I think if I were to try to beat one, though, it would be Paul Skeens, just because how many times have we already seen in the awards market in baseball this season a guy be a big favorite and him come down to the pack, whether it be injury, whether it just be regression. Skeens has been unbelievable. But if he gets injured, this thing gets really interesting. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese is playing out of her mind. She's had 13 straight double-doubles, and Caitlin Clark is still minus 450. I don't know what more Angel Reese can do, so I would probably go with Caitlin Clark at minus 450. All right, before we get to Lucy Burge, let's talk some baseball here. It is a Monday. We do this during college football season and during college basketball season as well. Now that we're approaching the All-Star break, we thought it'd be a good time to bring back the top 10, my top 10 teams in Major League Baseball right now. We're going to start, I think the Philadelphia Phillies are the best team in baseball. They're my number one, plus 500, as I just mentioned. Elite starting pitching, four really good starters, three excellent starters, bullpen's good. And that lineup, you know, they do got some veteran guys in their order. They're going through some injuries right now. But when they're healthy and when they get to the playoffs, a lot of those guys, the Schwarbers, the Castellanoses, the Real Mutos, the Harpers, they just turn into different players. So I like the Phillies right now. Best team in baseball. Number two, I'll go with my Orioles at plus 700. Orioles obviously have to address their starting pitching issues outside of Corbin Burns and Grayson Rodriguez. Got to find another guy. The beauty of the Orioles, though, is they got the best farm system in baseball, and they can go after anybody that they want, which is a scary thing. Bullpen's been pretty good as of late and so far this season. I think they need to add another arm or two there as well. That lineup, though, top to bottom, best lineup in baseball. Take the O's at plus 700. Number three is going to be the Dodgers at plus 310. Still all that top-tier talent. Mookie Betts is hurt right now. But when he comes back, when Yamamoto comes back, there's a reason the Phillies have been the best team in the National League all season, but the Dodgers are still healthy favorites ahead of them. Dodgers, third-best team in baseball. Now, this is where I might differ from people. My fourth best team currently in baseball is going to be the Houston Astros at 18-1. A lot of this has just been because of what we've seen out of Houston for the last 6 and 7 years, but we've just been waiting for them to get on this run. We've been waiting for them to get hot, and they're finally doing it, and they're doing it with, like, essentially their entire starting pitching rotation all hurt. Their lineup is ridiculous, and even without Kyle Tucker, they're scoring a bunch of runs. Astros, folks, 18-1 to win the World Series. That's something I would take a look at. Guardians come in at number five at 16-1. I do expect some regression from Cleveland coming up in the second half of the season. Starting pitching has been great for the Guardians the last 5 or 6 years. Has not been good for them this year. Man, is that bullpen elite. It is by far the best in baseball, and their lineup has been doing just enough. I think they need to add another bat or two, but right now the Guardians are my number five. Give me the Braves at number six. No Strider, no Acuna, but man, is Chris Sale had a good season. Ronaldo Lopez, Max Fried is back healthy and pitching well, and that lineup is too good to be this inconsistent the rest of the year. I'll go the Braves right now, my number 16, plus 900 to win the World Series. Currently in number seven, I will put the New York Yankees in there. Much of the year, they have been very good. Currently, though, those six teams above that I mentioned have been playing better than they have. There are a lot of teams that have been better than the Yankees recently. We'll see how they look this week heading into the All-Star break. Yankees are 30-1 right now to miss the playoffs, and if they keep going the way that they're going, they might start to get some tense times there in New York. Number eight, we'll go with the Brewers at 25-1. The Brewers, are they not the most least talked about good team over the last like 4 or 5 years? They just kind of hang out there in the Midwest. They have great pitching, no really stars in their order, but all they do is win games. That's what they're doing again this year. Number nine, the Padres, 35-1. Second best batting average in baseball. Their lineup is excellent. And also they got that front end starting pitching. And when Darvish and Cease and Musgrove are all clicking, that's a dangerous team. And then number 10 and a team that's starting to come up on the rise, that'll be the Minnesota Twins at 20-1. We don't think of Minnesota having a great offense, but they're having a very good year offensively. Fourth in runs scored, sixth in home runs, seventh in team batting average. When Royce Lewis is healthy, he's a superstar. Correa's having a good year. Byron Buxton has been excellent lately for the Twins. Minnesota's a team I keep an eye on. They are my number 10. So Phillies 1, Orioles 2, Dodgers, Astros, Guardians 3, 4, 5, the Braves, Yankees, Brewers 6, 7, and 8, and then the Padres and the Twins coming in at 9 and 10. Let's find out what Lucy Burge has to say, some of her best bets as we go to Model Making Money. Lucy, happy Monday. Great to see you. As always, what are our five-star plays BetQL has for us?
Yes, happy Monday, PJ. Always great to see you. Five-star play for today is Rockies Reds over 9. A lot of five-star plays lately have involved the Rockies overs. This game, however, not at Coors Field, but still great shot to hit the over here. The Rockies have hit the over in their last game, and they hit their last two on the road as well. And both the Reds and the Rockies are averaging over 4 runs scored per game. So the BetQL model loves this as a five-star play today. Rockies Reds over 9 runs.
Very good. Lucy, what are some of your best bets for today? What do you got for us?
Yeah, PJ, I have a couple of Lucy long balls for today. Byron Buxton to hit a home run. He has 9 home runs this season, 4 in his last 10 games, 1 in his last 2 games against Chris Flexen. He is batting .778 with 7 hits, including 2 singles, 3 doubles, and 2 home runs. And in his last start, Chris Flexen allowed 2 home runs and 6 total hits. So I love Byron Buxton to hit a home run. And then Jesse Winker, another one I am taking to hit a home run. He has 10 home runs this season with 1 in his last 4 games. And against Miles Michaelis, he is batting .385 with 5 hits and 13 at-bats, including 2 home runs and 2 singles and a double. But those 2 home runs, he's done this before. I think he can do it again. So I like him to do that as well. And then CJ Abrams over 1.5 total bases. He has hit this over in his last 3 games and in 4 of his last 6 games with 8 total bases in his last 3 games. And he has 1 home run in his last 2. So a lot of good stuff going on for CJ Abrams, especially against Miles Mikolas. He is batting .750 with a home run and 2 singles against him in 4 at bats. So I like him to go over 1.5 total bases as well.
Very nice. Lucy, I was just talking about it a little bit ago. Yankees are 30-1 to miss the playoffs. Is that
I heard you said they stink.
Is that something? Oh, you know we love watching the Yankees struggle, Lucy. It's a beautiful thing. Would you bet them at 30-1, though, to miss the playoffs, or are they going to figure it out?
Yeah, I would bet that because, first of all, for manifesting purposes, of course, you want to do that. They did miss the playoffs last season, so it's not that crazy, especially with the skid that they have been on. So I say skid, but they did beat the Red Sox by 10 runs the other day, 2 games ago, but we forget that. We still, all the momentum is with the Red Sox, the Yankees, having a bit of a tough go. I don't know. I don't know if they can pick this up. Does Aaron Judge, you know, knock on wood, he doesn't. You never want a player to get injured, but does he get injured at some point? He's prone to that. I see a lot of shaky things going on for the Yankees. I would be very hesitant to bet them to make the playoffs right now. So I would take them right now, just even a sprinkle on them to miss the playoffs this season.
All right, I like it. Bet slips and bat flips coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time with Lucy and Jake. Make sure you guys tune into that. Always love having Lucy on a Monday. Lucy, great seeing you. We'll talk again soon.
PJ, you are the best, and I will talk to you soon.
Looking forward to it. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL. QL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap up the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Going streaking. Lucy talked about him, guys. It's a Byron Buxton kind of day. Byron Buxton is 7-for-9 in his career against Chris Flexen. Do you know how bad Chris Flexen is this season? He has started 18 games for the White Sox this year. They have lost 16 of those 18 starts. Twin offense has been on fire. Buxton's been on fire, and he loves hitting against Chris Flexen. He's my guy tonight in going streaking. Wyatt Langford, over 1.5 total bases, plus +125, is going to be my prop lock today. Wyatt Langford is on an absolute heater. In that same game, I see B Mills with a question in the chat, wants to know about Angels pitcher Davis Daniel 4Ks tonight. Going to go over that. I'm staying away from that, B Mills, just because we've only seen him pitch 13 innings this season. Not enough data for me, so I'm staying away from Daniels, but I do like Wyatt Langford over 1.5 total bases. My dog of the day is going to be starting in about 15 minutes. We're taking Holger Rune to win the first set against Novak Djokovic at plus 150. Novak lost the first set in his last match, then he rallied to win the next three sets. Guys, when they're going for the upset against the big dogs at Wimbledon, you got to get off to the good start. I'll take Rune plus 150 to win the first set. Shawnee Sharpe, Chris Sale over 6.5 strikeouts, Braves first five money line plus 130, and then that Twins White Sox over 9.5 is going to be my favorite play. Once again, Byron Buxton is our guy in going streaking. Wyatt Langford over 1.5 total base is going to be our prop lock. Holger Rune, dog of the day, plus 150 first set against the Joker. Chris Sale over 6.5 Ks and Braves first five money line plus 130. Shawnee Sharpe's best bet. Twins White Sox over 9.5 is going to be my favorite play. Thanks again to Clayton Safey for joining us. Talk some Michigan. If you miss any part of that conversation or anything else from Send It In, make sure you go check out the Send It In podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow talking Washington Huskies.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.